This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Alrighty, hour number two of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. According to Pete Nakos at On3, Tennessee is trending towards naming UCLA transfer Joey Aguilar as its starting quarterback. So there's some quarterback news for the Tennessee Volunteers. Remember, you had the whole Nico Iamaliava situation, and now he's at UCLA. Aguilar was just at UCLA, and now he's going to be the starting quarterback at Tennessee. And we know from yesterday that Alabama has named Ty Simpson their starting quarterback. I'll give you more coming up in just a bit on that. And there's been a lot of talk about Shedeur Sanders today. I know a lot of people were caught off guard when he was not getting any opportunity to throw passes in joint practices up against the Philadelphia Eagles. Well, Shedeur Sanders has an oblique strain, and Adam Schefter just during this break gave us even more clarity on this. And he said Browns quarterback Shedeur Sanders suffered an oblique strain today. He will not practice Thursday and is unlikely to play on Saturday versus the Eagles, which is disappointing because after the brilliance or the good performance, let me just say, that we saw from Shedeur Sanders in his preseason debut, I was curious to see how many reps he was going to get in those joint practices, which teams usually value more than the preseason games, and then bare minimum at least see him play up against the Eagles later on in the week. And now it looks like that's not going to be the case as the Cleveland Browns just have injury after injury here, where Joe Flacco is somehow the healthiest in this quarterback competition with Kenny Pickett and also Dylan Gabriel dealing with the hamstring, and now Shedeur Sanders dealing with an oblique strain. A man that does a great job covering the Cleveland Browns, a part of their radio broadcast. He, of course, Nathan Zagora, kind enough to join us on the show. Nathan, appreciate the time as always. How you been?
Yeah, it's good to be back with you, Zach. And obviously, I knew we were going to be talking about Shedeur when he asked me a couple days ago. We certainly did not think we were going to have this conversation because, like everybody else, I was at practice and we're watching the one-on-ones. And I was with my my play-by-play partner, Andrew Siciliano, and I said, I don't think Shador's even getting any reps in the ones. What's going on? And then we get into the team, and the first time the ones were Joe Flacco and then Gabriel and then the threes, and it was Tyler Huntley. And I said, that seems odd. And so we kind of asked around, and eventually we found out he had injured his oblique in warmups and was out. And it's obviously very unfortunate because he did have a very good performance in that opener and showed, you know, the things that we talked about last time. I said elite ball placement. It doesn't get any more elite than that first touchdown throw to Caden Davis in the back of the end zone. When you look at the camera angle from the fans, kind of the ball was coming at them, you saw what a small window that was. Then he showed on the second touchdown the poise in the pocket, slides to his right, resets his feet. A great throw there. He had another one to Gage Larvadan out of the end zone on a third down. And you just saw, you know, there are things that need to be cleaned up. You're not going to be able to run around and spin, as Myles Garrett told him on the sideline, for those who have seen the mic'd up with Shador in the game. Like, yeah, that move's not going to work on me, buddy, or a lot of the guys in this league. But a lot of good. And so you thought there was some momentum there, and that he looked very much like the guy that back at the combine everybody thought was the second-best quarterback in this draft and thought was going to go in the first, or those who were his detractors thought in the early second round. And so all that momentum, you know, now put on pause at a time when, you know, there's not a lot of time left. Certainly not that Shador was in the competition to start week one, because I think that's pretty obvious that he wasn't. He's still not received a first team rep this whole offseason, but he was pushing for whatever was going to be made available to him, I thought, after that performance.
Yeah, and you look at the numbers today from at least what I read, right? I know Kenny Pickett is dealing with the hamstring and Dylan Gabriel's dealing with the hamstring, but they were participating in these joint practices. Now you have the Shador oblique strain. What's just an update? What can you tell us about Kenny Pickett and Dylan Gabriel in terms of their health?
So it seems like Dylan Gabriel's farther along than Kenny Pickett, because, you know, Kenny Pickett, we haven't seen Kenny Pickett in 11-on-11 drill in 3 weeks. And when you think about the fact that there's been, you know, just over 4 weeks of training camp, that's why it feels like, you know, this was a big week for Kenny Pickett. And we've talked about it on our show. We talked about the preseason game. You know, if you didn't see him in the 11-on-11s this week, it probably meant it was going to be Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco, amazingly, in his 40s, is the only quarterback, you know, that we've had that stayed healthy of the original four. And is, you know, he's had, as I've said many times, he's had the best ability on the field. And probably of those abilities, the most important has been availability. He's been there and he's playing well. He still throws a beautiful ball. He's 6'6". He looks exactly like a starting quarterback should look. But, you know, Kenny Pickett, I just think, unfortunately for him, has just not gotten to be a part of this competition. And so it's looking, you know, Joe Flacco to be the starter. And then now you look at Saturday's game and you say, you know, we were thinking we're going to get, you know, some Dylan Gabriel and some Shador. And now we're not sure if Dylan Gabriel is going to be ready to play in the game, although he did 11-on-11s and I thought looked good, was sprinting out, doing the play action boots and all of that. We know Shador, it sounds like, unlikely to play on Saturday. I mean, Kenny can't go on Saturday. Are we going to see Tyler Huntley? I mean, that would be mind-boggling. So you hope that Dylan's able to go, and then he can get kind of what Shador got in the first one, get 50 plays, go into the second half, and they'll hopefully put some good things on tape for him, because he's the guy they drafted first. You know, Big Ten Offensive Player of the Year, started more games than anybody in college history, thrown more touchdowns than anybody in college history, and now you want to see him get his opportunity. So I think from a Brown standpoint, man, you really hope that Dylan Gabriel is good enough to go in that game, because otherwise it really stunts your kind of evaluation of that position.
I know we're talking about three injured quarterbacks right now, Nathan Zagora, but let's just say in a few weeks when the season starts up against the Bengals that everyone is healthy. When you look at that depth chart, do you think it's safe to say that Joe Flacco will be one, Dylan Gabriel will be two, Shador is three, and then Kenny Pickett is probably not on this team?
I don't think so. I think Joe Flacco being the starter, I think will be, that seems right. And I think that'll be named sooner rather than later if it continues that Kenny Pickett is not able to reinsert himself in this competition. Behind Flacco, I don't know what that's going to look like. I think I understand what you're saying in the sense that, you know, if it's, you know, you're going to start the year with Flacco, then after that, you're probably going to want to see these young guys, Dylan and Shador. But, you know, Kenny Pickett, I think had Kenny Pickett stayed healthy throughout this, there's a good chance he was going to be the opening day starter. So I don't know if he goes from one to four in that scenario. That'll be very interesting to see, and how the season unfolds, I think, will dictate a lot of maybe what it comes next. Now, I mean, obviously, look, you want Joe Flacco. If he plays great and, you know, goes all 17 games, that's then the Browns go on a playoff run. That would be amazing. If that isn't the case, though, I think there will be interesting decisions that have to be made about, okay, who do we want to see for how long? Do we want to see both of them? Do we want to give, you know, Gabriel a four-game tranche? Do we want to give Shador a four-game tranche? How that plays out, I think that remains to be seen.
You know, I'm under the impression, I know that it's been denied, but it's just what I believe, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, that Andrew Berry and Stefanski didn't want Shador, and this was
an edict
from the owner. That's fine. That's just what I believe. But my question, though, is what has been the impressions internally so far on Shador, and if he's healthy, will he definitely be on this roster come week one?
Okay, so I just want to go, because I know people can believe whatever they want to believe. I'm telling you, and I know as a fact, that was not the case at all. I think there were discussions, and even if you saw Jimmy Haslam's press conference, you know, when they all went home after day two, you know, there was no thought that Shedeur Sanders was going to be on this roster. And then after the fourth round ended, they got together. And even as the fourth round was progressing, he was still on the board. You know, AB got everybody. And this story's been told many times, sure, whether you believe it or not. It is the truth. And they just said at this point, it's a lottery ticket, right? We know that everybody evaluated him to be, you know, a first or a second round quarterback. We all know now that the pre-draft process was less than stellar, which is why he went at pick 144. So since he's been in, obviously, I think we've seen on the field the things that you saw on tape. And I think we saw that against Carolina, right? And so that is comforting. And that tells you, yes, this guy can be at this level what we thought he could be. I think for Shedeur Sanders, there is such a steep learning curve in terms of, for example, Dylan Gabriel came in well ahead of him in these regards of, you know, what it takes to operate an offense at the NFL level. And Gabriel, maybe from bouncing around three different places, has gotten more experience at just calling plays in the huddle. You know, all the things you have to do to prepare as an NFL quarterback, all the things that must be checked pre-snap, setting the protections, making the checks, you know, getting the motions, get all that operational stuff. And I thought he did a very good job of that in his first game. He has worked hard. He has worked his butt off since he has been in this building. He still is playing catch up. And I think that, you know, when he gets to the point where he's at that level with the other three on those things, the talent's going to take care of itself. So I think everybody's been very pleased with him. And you want to see, you know, that learning continue and that process continue. And if it does, I think there's a good chance that Shedeur Sanders, as we talked about months ago, can be the guy that solved this problem for this organization. But there is a long way to go. That's potential. There's a long way to go and a lot of work that has to be done. And you need to stay healthy to get there.
Nathan Zagora, wrap it up with him talking about the Cleveland Browns and this quarterback competition, which has been unfortunately disappointing just because the guys have been able to remain healthy. So I'll preface it again, knowing that Dylan Gabriel's not at 100%, but you know, I had Zach Jackson on a few months ago, and he said he doesn't look like in the early part of OTAs like an NFL quarterback. I've seen Darrell Ryder echo those sentiments as well. You're there, right? What do you see when you do see things out of Dylan Gabriel so far?
So I think it's been a mixed bag. I think there have been times where you would say that, you know, the height that maybe didn't show up on tape in college maybe has shown up. There have been a few throws over the middle where he threw them missed high and you just wonder, was he able to fully see it, you know? And then there have been other practices. And I'll tell you what, so the Monday after the Carolina game, I thought that was kind of a high pressure situation for him to go into that practice. The media is all there. Obviously, it's training camp. Every throw is being documented. I'm sure you've seen all the various quarterback trackers. And today, obviously, didn't have a high completion percentage. I thought both defenses, the Browns defense won the day and the Eagles defense won the day in the joint practice. But that Monday, he was sharp, on fire, threw three touchdowns, was really accurate, really decisive. I think that there are two things people have to remember with Dylan Gabriel, and it's unfair in some ways. He's getting kind of an unfair shake because everybody just wants Shedeur. And so when you want Shedeur, it's like, I don't want Dylan Gabriel, and we'll have to see. And that's the thing. That's the beauty of this game, right? Is that he's going to go play hopefully this Saturday, and how he performs will affect the judgments of people going forward. But he was drafted in the third round. And I think that there is a notion like Shedeur is such an anomaly. There has never been a quarterback drafted in the fifth round, at least that I can think of recently, where immediately the fans thought this guy was the savior, you know?
Good point.
Like that doesn't happen.
No.
And quite frankly, when you're a third round pick quarterback, you are not being drafted to be the savior. If that happens,
you got lucky.
Wow, real lucky. But if you are Dylan Gabriel and you know Kevin sees a lot of good things in him, the guys that he's worked with and been successful, like Case Keenum, for example, if you can be a long-term backup and you can be a guy that when you need to starts, that's a really successful draft pick. And I think the Browns believe his floor is that of being a long-term backup, and we'll see what he can do above that. I know he's done everything the right way in the building, in the meeting rooms, and now he's got to take that out onto the field. But this guy was successful everywhere in college. We'll just see if that, you know, can translate now to the NFL.
And if it goes the way that I think it's going to go, that Flacco starting week one, and then inevitably at some point they'll pass the baton to someone else. I know the locker room doesn't make the call, but I do think some players' voices matter. And you see those interactions with Myles Garrett and Shedeur. You hear some comments from Jerry Jeudy about Shedeur. And I'm sure, right, they'll say positive things about Dylan Gabriel and Kenny Pickett as well. But I do wonder if you have Myles Garrett, who's the face of this organization, and Jerry Jeudy, who's a very talented player in this organization, if their relationship keeps on getting won over by Shedeur, how much that maybe impacts a future decision down the road in this regular season.
I mean, I think I know Kevin very well. He's going to do what he thinks is the best thing for the team and the organization. I think that there's no denying that Shedeur Sanders has an it factor, right? I mean, there's no denying it. It is palpable. It was the highest rated NFL Network preseason game in over a decade to watch him play the Carolina Panthers. The get-in price, the tickets they were charging to get in the lower bowl as it got closer to kickoff were $250, $300. I was told by some people that that's more than the get-in price was for Carolina regular season games a year ago. So there's no doubt he's a needle mover. And yeah, he's got that it factor. He's known, right? He was a brand and known, and obviously his dad and all of that. I think that if he is in a position where everything that we all see matches everything that the players and everybody else sees in the work and all of those things that goes on, I think it's all going to work itself out. And I think he's going to be very successful in this league. And I think Dylan Gabriel is going to be a guy that without question maximizes whatever gifts he has because he goes about everything the absolute right way. And we're going to see, it's all going to play. I think it's going to play itself out. And it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, at some point we see both of those guys and then, you know, the chips fall where they may, because if I'm the Browns, I want to have a good idea. If I can say, and the best case scenario for the Browns that they can say, I can go into 26 and feel really good about going into it with either Shedeur or Dylan Gabriel. And if I can do that, I can use those two first round picks to address the bevy of needs that we have and add some real talent, or maybe even trade one of those and turn that into a bunch of picks like Chicago did. And all of a sudden Chicago, you know, is able to reload really quickly. That's kind of what the Browns need. So I think it's very important you see both of them, or if one of them really is separated by then, see that one.
You know, it's actually refreshing to hear that opinion, because I do think there's a large contingent of people that just look at the two first-round picks that they have for next year and already start thinking about next year quarterbacks and just go, oh, Dylan Gabriel's picked in the third round. Shedeur was in the fifth. Did they really want him? And some are starting to say, oh, those guys, they won't be the starting quarterback next year. So I kind of like how you're talking that maybe one of these guys, you know, and it seems like more like Shedeur than Dylan Gabriel could be the long-term answer in Cleveland.
It certainly would be the best outcome, right? I mean, if you're the Cleveland Browns,
you need
it. Oh man, now we can use these first-round picks on, you know, the ability to turn one into three first-round picks or two and get players around them, that would be an unbelievable outcome. If not, you have that in the back of your pocket, right? That if you need to be aggressive about it, you can be. But yeah, that's the ultimate outcome. Lottery tickets are lottery tickets. It doesn't mean it's a high percentage, but if it does hit, then it absolutely changes, you know, the calculus for this organization going forward. And so that's something that everybody who works for this team, and certainly those who root for this team, I think should want to be the case by the end of this year.
You know, when they first traded that pick and they didn't take Travis Hunter, I was like, ooh, I don't know how much I like that. But then you get the future one, and Mason Graham, I think, is going to be a stud for a long time. I was a huge fan of his when he was at Michigan. What have been some of the early returns on Mason Graham since he got in that facility?
Yeah, Blue Chip, they're really excited about him. Did a great job down in Carolina in the joint practices. And then in the game, you know, he got double teamed a couple times going against an all-pro and Robert Hunt. But I thought held his own, had a nice pressure. If you actually watch the touchdown play that Bryce Young threw the touchdown on, he had a good pressure. He was able to get outside to contain, but went through two guys pretty easily. And there was a period in the joint practices where they were running games. They were working on running a TE stunts, and it was him and Miles together. And it was the Panthers had no answer for it at all. And so they're very excited about Mason. And don't forget, and now we have not seen him in a Browns uniform for obvious reasons, but I believe that we will soon. And hopefully there's a good positive resolution to the allegations against Quinshon Judkins. But you also got that pick in that deal. So you move back and you picked up 36 as well as the future first, just to go back three spots. And they got, you know, what they considered, they had, I think, five blue chips in this draft, and they got one of their five blues in Mason Graham. So they're very excited about it.
Last thing I'll ask you, I'm in the mindset that Deshaun never plays another game for the Cleveland Browns, but whenever he gets healthy, does he still factor in to this situation?
I have no idea. And that's an honest answer. I really have no idea. It's one of those things. Listen, I have a lot of friends who are in the wrestling business, and I've learned a long time ago, you never say never, right? In that business, you never say. I don't know. I don't see really how that could manifest itself in necessarily I don't know. It's when that comes, I think it is going to be a very unique situation.
Yeah.
And I think it will be a very, and I know that the Browns have obviously been thinking about it and planning for it, but it will be an interesting needle to thread.
Where is he at right now from a health standpoint? Do you have any idea?
So he's posted the videos that he was doing well. He was with us in Carolina. I don't know if he's with on this trip. I did not see him today. That doesn't mean that he's not on this trip, but he was on the trip to Carolina. He was at the joint practices. He was on the sideline. They showed him during the broadcast of the game. So he's around the guys. The guys enjoy being around him. He's been in all the quarterback, you know, meetings. He's working really, really hard to rehab from the second Achilles injury, obviously. So we'll see. We'll see.
Nathan
Zagorin. There's a lot of what ifs there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of what ifs with that one.
And once again, I don't think he's going to play, but when he does get cleared to play, that's when it becomes really interesting. It'll be something that we'll talk about down the road. Nathan Zagorin does a great job covering the Browns. We appreciate it as always, Nathan.
All right, you got it. Thanks for having me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.